Alrighty, everyone. Good morning. We've had some technical difficulties this morning, and so much so it's taken us 15 extra minutes to get started in church. But I think it's worked out kind of well. It gave everyone a chance to get some coffee this morning. It's a little cold. And it's a little cold. It was -5 when I got in the truck this morning to come here. Woo. And so we've had some technical difficulties getting things rolling, but I think we've got it all figured out now. Thanks to Abigail, our wonderful clicker back here. So, if you will do me a favor, I think we've got some announcements first, right?
Yep.
All right, let's do some announcements. So, if you want to know, the women's group does meet on Sunday nights, but they are not going to be meeting tonight. It is too cold. Not to mention, anything that's kind of happening at night, I'm kind of calling off as well. Marlena called it off, but I would have called it off, so I'm glad she did it. It just gets too unpredictable at night right now with it being so cold. But hopefully that will stabilize itself by next week, and women will be meeting again next week. So let's see what we got next. We got you can follow along in our service on your phone if you have the Faith Life Bible Study app. We have more things that are going to be coming and rolling out over the next several months in regards to this app. So if you have it on your phone, that'd be awesome, and you can follow along in the notes for the service there. And next we have divorce care. Divorce care did not meet last night. That was one thing that got called off because of the weather. And so we're just kind of shifting everything to the right by 1 week. And so we'll just extend divorce care 1 more week at the other side. So next week will be week 2, and you guys can join at any time for that. So if you're separated or you're divorced, or if you've had a long time relationship that was like a marriage, and maybe you have kids together and you need to talk with some folks and work through some of that, I highly recommend that you come. It's been really amazing the first time that it happened, and I'm expecting to hear awesome news from that moving forward. So what do we have left? Annual church meeting. We have our annual church meeting on the 28th of February at 6:45 p.m. That's going to be at Chesterfield. We're going to actually, we could host it here, but I thought it would be good for us to come together as a larger group of Life 360 folks all together at Chesterfield and have a chance to come together with everyone there. If you want to ride with us, the church van will be leaving at 5:45 from here. So, if you want to come with us, instead of having to drive to Chesterfield, just meet me here at 5:45 p.m. on the 28th, and we'll all go together. So, all right, I think that's it, right?
Yep.
So if you'll go ahead and stand with me, we're going to get into some worship this morning. Lord God, we thank you so much that you brought us together today. Whether we're here or if we're listening online, God, I thank you. That we have this opportunity, that we have the ability to do all of this together, God. You are amazing. You are worthy to be praised, and we love you so much. I pray, Lord God, as we get into the service today, that every move that we make, every word that we speak, every thing that comes from us will be from you, God, that we can have you be first in our lives and everything flow from you, God. And we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm breathing you.
step by step, I'm taking you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you.
I'm not afraid to one moment, you have brought me to such a freedom. I have found in you your healer, who makes all things new, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead, here to declare to you. My past is over in you, all things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ, I'm moving, moving forward. You have risen, with the power in your hands you have given me.
Lord, we thank you that even in the storms of life and even in the craziness and maybe even being locked in, there's so many metaphors that we can use with everything that's happening today and everything that's going on, but Lord, through it all, you've made things right. And that even in difficult times, even in stressful times, even in lonely times, when we look to you, God, we can know that you are in control, you know what you're doing, and that it is going to be well, that it is well. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, I pray for the rest of this service today, the words of the message, everything that's happening, God, I pray that we could be in your presence today. In your name, amen. Take a second and say hi to some folks. If you're at home, say hi to your family.
Parted the raging sea. God, He holds the victory.
Alrighty. If you were here before the technical difficulties, you would have heard the story of the tale of trying to go to CrossFit yesterday. So we tried to go to CrossFit yesterday, and it was so cold that one of Leah's car doors had frozen open. And the way that that works is, you know, when you get to your car and you try to open it in the morning, you get that crack of ice that comes off, you know. And her car was so cold that when I pulled the handle, it never, like, relatched close again. And so when we went to go close the door, it wasn't latching closed. And I stressed about it because I'm like, am I going to have to get this thing towed? Am I going to have to take it somewhere because the door won't close? And I looked it up online, and you have to just let the car warm up for, like, half an hour. And that's what I did. I let the car warm up for half an hour, and apparently everything melted and, like shrunk or whatever it does and when it gets warmer, and the door latched again. So that's a good thing. So let that be kind of my testimony to you, because I'm praying, Lord Jesus, we just had this car in for so much work, and we're sitting there thinking, man, this is going to be bad. And all it really is just God knew that we just needed to give it some more time. And we missed CrossFit yesterday, but God knew what we needed, and He took care of us, and maybe He kept us from something. Who knows? God knows what He's doing, and sometimes when bad things happen, we just have to sit back and trust that God knows what He's doing, and who knows? Who knows what God could have saved us from yesterday? Anyway, I want to go ahead and we're going to pick up our tithes and offerings. If you're online, listening online, you can go to live360.org/giving and you can give online there. If you normally give here at church and you're at home and you're like, I still want to give, I would love to see online giving this week. And we have a QR code. If you're watching on the screen and you want to scan that QR code, you can do that. Or if you're here in the service, you can scan it too. And that works too. So anyway, thank you, Elizabeth, for picking up the offering. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the continuing giving hearts of the people of this church who support everything that we do and all the ministry, financially support the ministry of this church, God. We know everything comes from you, but you have designated our hands and our feet to be what supply and give to the ministry, God, and I thank you. For all of that. And I thank you for folks that are even listening online that'll give online or give them when they come back. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen. All right. So we've had wonderful, wonderful weeks of giving in 2024, you know, the whole one of them. And we had a good Sunday, and things are looking up so far. We're ahead of budget, which is always good when you're starting off strong. I love that. So, yeah. If you're in the sanctuary right now, you probably are wearing a jacket, or a hat, or a sweatshirt, or a scarf, because it is 64 degrees in the sanctuary this morning. Some of y'all, when you come to church, you're like, man, it's warm in here. Why does Pastor Scott have it so warm? It's because I forgot to turn it down. Normally we have it set at like 70 degrees. So it's nice and warmish in here and toasty. But it's 64 in the sanctuary this morning. Maybe it's come up a little bit since worship. We were all singing and we had that, nice toasty breath of heaven coming out of our mouth. But who knows? But you know, it's one of those quirks of the church. Is sometimes it's a little more cold than I think our insulation can handle. So I want to thank you for everyone who is here that you braved the cold to come out here. And for those of you who are staying toasty warm at home, good on you. So I'll be doing the same thing when we're all done here today. All right. Well, we are still in Judges, and we're still going to be in Judges for a little bit longer because we still haven't hit one of the key figures in Judges, have we? We hit Deborah, we've hit Gideon, but we still have Samson to do, right? But today we're going to be finishing up Jephthah, or Japheth, or however you want to call him. Japheth is how I think I say his name. If you ever listen to it on like the Bible app, and you listen to the Bible app say his name, that's how it pronounces it, because that's how I'm pronouncing it, because I listened to how it was saying, and I'm like, I'll go with that. So Japheth, he's an interesting character. I kind of almost equate him to modern politicians that call themselves believers. You know these guys that say, yeah, I'm a believer, I believe in Jesus, and it's like some of the things that they do, I'm like, that's not quite Christian. And then other things they're like, they do, it's like, okay, I get where you're coming from. So you kind of get that. So some of the things that Japheth has done, he's done because the Lord has commanded him to do it. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord came on Japheth. In fact, if you look in Hebrews and you look into the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame of Faith or whatever you want to call it in Hebrews, he's there. Did you know that? That's crazy. I'm like, Japheth is there. He's mixed in there with the big ones, like Gideon and Deborah and Japheth. Wow. Anyway, next week we're going to be talking through three minor judges. I really thought about wrapping them into here, but you know, the stories of these minor judges, there's not a lot to them. But at the same time, there's a lot that you can pull out of who they are and what they've done, where they're from and things like that. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. But today we're going to look at our final day at Japheth. You guys ready for the final day of Japheth? Here we go. My first question for the day, for everyone in this room, because there's not a lot of you this morning, so I need some full participation here today. My first question of the day, have you ever been jealous? Well, that was a quick answer. Thank you, Elizabeth. Have you ever been jealous? Are we getting nods? We're not getting... Let me hear your voice. Say yes or no. I have never been jealous. No, I'm just kidding. I have been jealous, absolutely. How about you? Yeah? Every human's been jealous? Have you been jealous? Yeah? Yeah? So, jealousy's a thing, right? How about, like, petty jealous? Have you ever been petty jealous? You know what I mean by petty jealous? You're jealous of, like, little nitpicky things? Or maybe, like, they did something that was really cool and really good and actually helped you, but you're jealous because they did it. Have you ever done that? Yeah, sometimes. All right, so the next question I have here is specifically aimed at those of you who are in the service industry, whether it be at the DMV or at Starbucks. How do you handle contentious people? Wow, I just saw the stress level in the room rise. Like, contentious, you bite your tongue. Do you bite your tongue? Oh, you don't let that fly, do you? I love that face back there. Yeah. What do you do? How do you handle contentious people? Okay. Let's help our younger audience here. What is a contentious person? Argumentative. They always want to see your manager. Yeah. They order three sizes of ice water. It's all the same price, people. Free. How do you handle contentious people? I mean, what about those people that you do everything for? You've done everything you can to make them happy. But they just are determined to be angry and frustrated and frustrating. I mean, I saw this meme once. It's always about wives and husbands. And gosh, how did it go? And now I'm trying to pull this out of my head. It's like, if she's ever mad, tell her to jump up and down. That way she could be hopping mad. Or, you know, if she's ever mad, just give her a Snickers. Because she's probably just hungry or hangry. You know, you ever meet, it's like, how do you handle situations like that where it's like, I'm doing everything I can here. And now all the guys in the room are like, shut up, Pastor Scott. You're giving all the tricks away. You know, what was it, one of them? It said, if she comes in and she's mad at you, throw a towel over her shoulders and call it a cape and tell her now she's super mad. Rick's going to use that one next time. He knows better. Sadly, I think that's something I would do to Leah, and I would be in so much trouble. I mean, you could do that with contentious people, right? Wouldn't that be so cool if one day, I mean, think about it. That'd be kind of fun if someone walked into your office or your store and they were just being a pain in the butt, but you just took this, like, towel or you took a blanket or whatever it is and you draped it over their back and said, now you're super mad. Anyway, I'm bunny trailing bad. So, but it would be so funny. Anyway, so we've talked about how to deal with contentious people that are frustrating you. But let's take it a step further. How do you react when someone is pushing you for a fight? I remember a time, and I'm going to be very open on this one. There was a time in my life, and I was not a very happy person. And at this time in my life, and I was married to Leah, and we would get into some sort of disagreement. And I don't know if it was just where my brain was at the time, or how broken my heart was at the time, but I would push to try to get a rise out of her, to try to get her to react to me in a way to, I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? I think a lot of times we do things that don't make sense. But here's my point. How should you react to someone who is honestly pushing you for a fight? You should react with love, right? Hugs, not slugs. So, today we're going to talk about something interesting in Scripture. It's called an unwanted fight. We're going to be in Judges chapter 12, verses 1 through 7 today. And this is actually going to wrap up Japheth. He doesn't go any further after this. So we're going to go ahead and read. It says this. Then the people of Ephraim mobilized an army and crossed over the Jordan River to Zaphon. They sent this message to Japheth. Why didn't you call us to help fight against the Ammonites? We are going to burn down your house with you in it. It's always Ephraim. You ever have that one person in your life that's always the problem child or always like the pest? Like that one? If you don't know who that is in your family, it's you. But like they're always the one. The one that's always angry. The one that's always jealous. The one that's always frustrated. The one that's always dishing out the garbage. That's Ephraim. And we dealt with them earlier when we were talking about Gideon. And here they are, angry at Japheth. Why didn't you call us to help fight against the Ammonites? We're going to burn down your house with you in it. Well, that doesn't sound fair. Japheth replied this way. He said, I summoned you at the beginning of the dispute. I'll be honest, I didn't see that in Scripture. Did he? I don't know, but it wasn't there. But you refused to come. You failed to help us in our struggle against Ammon. So, when I realized you weren't coming, I risked my life and went to battle without you. And the Lord gave me victory over the Ammonites. So why have you now come to fight? Let me be clear. Ephraim was being oppressed by Ammon. According to Japheth, he said, I invited you to come fight with us. You decided to not come. I risked my life. My people risked their lives. We went and fought. We won. And now they're gone. You're welcome. I won the fight, and you don't have to deal with the problem anymore. So why are you mad? That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? It sounds like a lot of pride, doesn't it? Let's see what they respond. The people of Ephraim responded, "You men of Gilead are nothing more than fugitives from Ephraim and Manasseh." So Jephthah gathered all the men of Gilead and attacked the men of Ephraim and defeated them. They went to civil war. Civil war, brother against brother, tribe against tribe. They insulted each other. You ever do that with your sister or your brother? And you like get into a fist fight or something? Did it ever involve hundreds of people? It did in this case. Jephthah captured the shallow crossings of the Jordan River And whenever a fugitive from Ephraim tried to go back across, the men of Gilead would challenge him, "Are you a member of the tribe of Ephraim?" They would ask. If the man said, "No, I'm not," they would tell him to say the word shibboleth. Everyone say that word, shibboleth. Say it out loud, real loud. Shibboleth, good. If he was from Ephraim, though, he would say sibboleth. Because people from Ephraim cannot pronounce the word correctly. Then they would take him and kill him at the shallow crossing of the Jordan. In all, 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. 42,000. Japheth judged Israel for 6 years. When he died, he was buried in the towns of Gilead. So, let me explain how this works. Guy comes up to you. You're at the river crossing, which is what this is talking about, the shallow crossings. They didn't have a lot of bridges, so they would have these areas that were called fords. So they would ford across the river. If you were here for the video that we watched for the Nativity story, you saw that they had to cross at a ford. It was a shallow area of a river, and you would take your animals and whoever else, and you'd cross over the river at that place because they didn't have bridges any other way to get across. So they would do that. You would cross the river there, and when you crossed the river, you were fine. You'd be able to get to where you're going. But here's the thing. This is what Japheth did. He set his troops up at the river, at the ford areas, which is basically like setting up a toll booth. But instead of charging a fee, he said, "Hey, so are you an Ephraimite?" And of course, you would say, "No, I'm not an Ephraimite." All right, cool. Say shibboleth.
Shibboleth?
All right, cool. You can go on. So you would then be able to ford the river. And the next person would come up and they'd say, "All right, are you an Ephraimite?" No. All right, say shibboleth.
Shibboleth.
All right, you can go. So you go up to the next person comes along, and you go, "Are you an Ephraimite?"
No.
No. Okay, so say shibboleth.
Shibboleth.
And then you'd die. Because you couldn't say it right. That was kind of a generalization. It is stereotypical. That's absolutely correct. But what's the deal? What's the deal with the whole shibboleth thing? And it really goes back to the fact that they couldn't pronounce the word. You can't pronounce the word, you can't cross the river. But what happened? I'm serious. What happened? Jealousy. Have you ever been jealous? Have you ever hurt someone in your jealousy? Have you ever been angry at someone in your jealousy? Have you ever gone to war and killed 42,000 people in your jealousy? They did. But the 42,000 people wasn't the people that were jealous. I mean, it wasn't the people that... It was the people that were jealous. It wasn't the people of Gilead. It's people that were insulted. How do you think you should react when you feel jealousy? This is a very, very specific situation. And honestly, this is a hard one for me to actually preach on. I was telling my wife, I said, this is a tough one for me to preach on because this is not something I haven't struggled with this very much. But I know there are people in this world that get angry when good things happen to them. And it doesn't make sense. And their jealousy makes them angry. Here we have a situation where Japheth and his people put their lives on the line. And it's not even that the Ephraimites aren't thankful. They're angry that they weren't included. I think the hard part of this whole message today for me as the pastor in order to preach this is that this doesn't make sense. Are you kind of getting that feeling right there? Why would the Ephraimites do that? Well, it was a hurting their pride situation. It was hurt their ego. Maybe they were itching for a fight. They were losing out on a blessing. I mean, they didn't get the credit. But isn't that kind of the message of this whole book? Everyone wants credit. But nobody wants to do the work. Neither Japheth or Ephraim were following God's commands at this time. And it very much caused a lot of ruin and loss and destruction. Sins like jealousy were able to come in, and it justified violence in their minds. So what's the stem? What does this all go back to? I want you to realize something. When we began Judges, we had a united people entering into the promised land. Under Joshua. We had a nation trying to establish itself. We had a tribe commanded by God to go fight someone, and they invited another tribe to go with them. And that disobedience alone began this whole process. We began Judges with a disobedience of going beyond what God had commanded. Now, we're at a place where God hasn't commanded anything. God is blessing them along the way, but they're not listening anymore. They're not listening to the Lord anymore. They're doing what they seem is right in their own eyes. And because God doesn't want to see his people oppressed, he's blessing them in battle. But God's own people are so broken, so hurt, so lost, and so confused that even when the nation of Israel overall succeeds and finds peace and finds success and finds victory, they're so broken that they can fight within themselves. Just think how far they have fallen. how lost that they've become. How painful it is to be the father of this nation, God watching his children fight each other, calling each other names, killing each other. This is not something God commanded. Did you hear any of God's voice in any of this? Japheth referred to God saying, God gave us victory. Yeah, God gives you victory. But nobody's listening to God. I want you to realize something. Not only is Ephraim's jealousy not coming from the Lord, not directed by the Lord, neither is Japheth's response. What we find in this passage is an absence of God and both on both sides. And I think that's where we find our world a lot of times. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on or what side of the political spectrum or whatever it is that you're on. The question is, are you listening to the Lord? Or are you just listening to what's happening? I mean, think about it. If you're Ephraim, you're not really just going to like go out and fight just because they did it. You had to get riled up. I mean, there had to have been some sort of propaganda campaign in Ephraim to get people riled up enough to go after them. Had to be. And I'm sure there was people saying, God wants us to do this. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. And I know this world is complicated, and it's never an easy thing. But if we're not listening to the Lord, then we don't know what we need to be doing. And it can lead to jealousy. And it can lead to violence. And it can lead to death. I know there's people out there that think that this nation is in trouble. I don't disagree with you. But I don't think it's in trouble for the same reasons that you think it is. I don't think it's a political problem. I think it's a religious problem. I think it's a Christ problem. I think it's a problem with people having a problem with Christ. Call me what you want. That's just where I am. The issues in Israel have nothing to do with the fact that they succeeded and had victory. Has nothing to do with the fact that Ephraim was or was not included in that victory. It has everything to do with the fact that nobody is listening to God. Nobody is actually putting God on the throne where he deserves to be. And that's a problem. Is that a problem in your life? Is God the king of your life? Is he on the throne in your life? Or are you just going through the motions, doing what you're told, doing what you've heard? I've heard this is good. I've heard that is good. Or are you finding the truth? Are you finding what God has for you? Are you getting distracted by the news or the situations or the feelings? I'm sure the people of Ephraim had a lot of feelings towards the people of Gilead. But were those feelings right? Were those feelings the real calling? I think that's dangerous thought. That's a dangerous way to think right there. So I want to call on everyone today No matter where you find yourself, no matter who you listen to, no matter what TV shows you watch, or even the influencers that are in your life, instead of matching your life to them, match your life to God. Instead of listening to them first and to have them dictate how your life should go or the decisions you should make, listen to God first. Because this whole situation could have been avoided. 42,000 people could have not died. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you say Shibboleth or Sibboleth. Every one of these people was one of God's chosen people. Kind of reminds me of that Dr. Seuss book about which side of the toast you butter your bread on. Doesn't matter. It's still toast with bread. It's still toast with butter on it. Okay? This can be kind of a confusing and tough message, and I get that. I'm there with you. But I think that that's an important nugget for us to take away today. Listen to God. Follow His direction. It will keep you out of trouble. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you that we have this opportunity to come together and to listen to the Word, God. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to seek your face, to listen for your voice. God, lead us and guide us. Give us direction, God. We need you more today than we've ever needed you before. Threats of violence against us, against our nation, against our beliefs or our political beliefs are out there, God. But sometimes we just need to be reminded that the party we should really be affiliated with is the kingdom of heaven. And I pray, Lord God, that we would listen to you, that you would guide us, that you direct all of our steps, God, to help us avoid sin. Help us to not fall into the temptations of this world or the jealousies. Help us to not envy others. And I pray, God, as we go from this place today, that everyone will be safe and that everyone will be warm. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will give us opportunities to share you with others. I thank you, Lord. In your name, amen. God bless and have a wonderfully amazing, very cold day.